Man, you know, how many of you seen people that were about ready to pass away, and it looked like they were almost done, and then all of a sudden they just wake up, and they're good, and they're visiting, they're talking, they remember everything, and they visit with you, and then it's just a few days. That's God giving them a chance. Their spirit rallies. God gives them a chance to leave a good testimony. So praise God for that. You know, a lot of people do that. And you need to understand that. Because a lot of people think, well, okay, they're coming out of it, they're getting there. But their spirit rallies. You know, their spirit may get excited because they know what's about to happen. But God gives them a chance to leave a good testimony. See, my dad did that. He woke up. He had been out of it for quite a while, and he just woke up, and he was bright. And my brother went to gathering up grandkids and hauling them into his room and told the doctor what's going on. I said, yeah, get all of them you can. He got all the grandkids he could get his hands on, got them in there so dad could visit with them. They had a really good time. They got to visit and talk for a long time. And they went home, and within a few days, he was home. Amen. And what better place can you imagine being? When you're in the arms of Jesus, that's a good place. Amen? That's the best place to be. It's a little hard on us for a little while. But when we realize that all the pain and suffering is gone and that we're going to see them again, then it gets really good. Amen? Amen. So we're going to continue on with our study on faith and faith in action. Faith has to have action. I mean, you're going to have to jump out of the boat. You're going to have to put action to what you believe. So the formula of faith in action can apply to receiving everything, including the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit just as it does to receiving any of God's gifts. You know, when you got born again, you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus back to life. And then you confessed with your mouth what you believed. Amen? Everything else you're going to get from heaven is going to be the same way. If you need healing, you're going to believe in your heart that by His stripes you were healed, and you're going to have to confess with your mouth that by His stripes you were healed. Amen? Now here's the kicker. You may feel terrible, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to get up and do something. I remember I was listening to Kenneth Copeland talk one time when he was an understudy for Oral Roberts. And his job, he would go down into this infirmary where people were in wheelchairs and on tables, and you know, they couldn't move, they couldn't do anything, and Oral would be out there preaching, and he said, now Oral's going to come down here and pray for you. Now when he comes, he'd go through whatever Oral preached, and then he'd say, when he gets down here and he starts praying for you, you start doing something that you couldn't do before. You try to do something you couldn't do, or do something, but you get moving. See, the blind man, this is the coolest story. I couldn't get it for the longest time. The blind man that threw his coat away, I thought, you know, that was weird. Until I started studying, I found out some of the laws and some of the history and some of the rules that they had to go. This wasn't just a coat. This was a special coat. This coat signified him as a beggar. he had to wear that coat to identify himself as a beggar. That was his living, that coat. People could identify him as a beggar. They'd come by and they'd give it to him. Jesus come walking by, and he hollered and pressed, and the disciples, they said, "Oh, you just go back." And Jesus said, "Well, what would you that I do unto you?" And he said, "That I can receive my sight." And he said, "Come here." And he threw his coat away. He threw his living away. He threw his crutch away. He threw what was getting him through life away, so that because he believed he was going to receive what he needed from Jesus, and he wasn't going to need that no more. Amen? The sick man will lay in bed, but a healed man will get up and go to work. Here's the problem. People want to lay in bed until they feel better and then get up and go. Did you believe that you received your healing? Then get up and go get a drink of water. Even if that's all you do, you did something. But do something. Get up and get moving. Now, in the previous lesson, we talked about how faith is an act. It's putting God's word into practice. Many miracles of healing have come about as people have acted on their faith. They've stepped out on God's promises and received from God. The same thing applies to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In order to receive this mighty endowment of God's power, we must also step out in faith and lay claim to the promise of the Father. And here's one of the kickers. I run into this a lot. People get born again and they say that I've got the Spirit. Praise God. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's three baptisms that you must pay attention to. There's three baptisms that we are to be involved with. Number one, when you get born again, you get baptized into Christ. That's automatic. When you get born again, your life gets completely immersed in Jesus. Amen? That's why the Bible says your life is hid in His. You got baptized into Christ. That's the one baptism that is necessary to salvation. Amen? To be born again. Then you can go get water baptized. And you can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or you can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then you can get water baptized. Or you can be like my friend. He went under the water and he came up speaking in tongues. He was just believing God for everything he could get. Amen? That's the important thing. It's the gift of the Father. And you want to receive everything from God that you can. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 19. Verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, so these are believers. He found these are believers. He already found them. He said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." So they got water baptized. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." So there's is showing us. It's a whole nother experience. It went through the whole deal. He found disciples. They weren't disciples unless they were born again. And they had already been water baptized. And then they went on to the next. They got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in tongues, and they prophesied. Here's the thing. A lot of the church world has gotten off on this rabbit trail, thinking that when God restored the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He was trying to restore tongues, and that's just not biblical. Tongues is part of it. But what God was doing was reinstating the endowment of power. He wanted people to receive the endowment of power. So when they went out into the mission field, they had the gifts of the Holy Spirit that they could minister to people with. Amen? That's where the gifts of the Holy Spirit need to be. Out there. Too many people are sitting in the church wanting to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants to have a one-on-one personal fellowship with you. Once you get born again, you got a relationship. Now He wants to have a one-on-one personal fellowship with you. He wants to be able to talk to you directly. And you hear Him, and you go about your day doing what He told you to do. In the Old Testament, the people would come to the prophet or the high priest and say, go find out what God wants us to do. So the high priest would go to God or the prophet, find out what God wanted them to do, come back and tell the people. That's Old Testament. Now we have a whole bunch of the church sitting in the pews asking the pastor to go find out what God wants them to do. Did you know that's not my job? My job is to equip you to go out into the mission field and do your job out there. Amen? If you're waiting for another man to give you a word from God, to give you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a verse in tongues, whatever, that's just not where you're supposed to be. You're born again. You're to be led by the Spirit. And God wants to have such a fellowship with you that you can receive directly from Him. You can take the middleman out. Amen? Amen? That's God's best for you. I knew a prophet. And people would come up to him and say, you got a word for me? And he said, no, I don't have a word for you. You have a Bible, you have the Holy Spirit, you go home and you read that Bible, you get before God and you listen to the Holy Spirit, you get a word from Him yourself. And sometimes he would have a word for somebody. But God wants you to seek Him and get your own word fresh from the press. Right straight from Him. Amen? When we studied the book of Acts, we noticed that after the day of Pentecost, the disciples always asked believers the question, have you received the Holy Ghost? They didn't say, has God given you the Holy Ghost? Have you ever noticed that? They didn't ask if God gave you the Holy Ghost. They asked, have you received the Holy Ghost? God's not going to give you the Holy Ghost. As far as He is concerned, He already has. It is up to you to receive. It is something which you do yourself. Did you know you don't have to have a pastor pray over you to receive the Holy Ghost? The same way with healing. You know, you don't even have to have a pastor present to get born again. Paul didn't need a pastor. Paul just repented and he realized, oh, you are Lord. Amen? You can be reading the Bible for yourself and find out in there that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So how do you do that? You believe in your heart that God has already sent Holy Spirit here, and you receive Him yourself. Amen? You don't have to ask Him. God has already sent Holy Spirit here. You just need to receive it. The same way you got born again. You know, one thing we used to say when we were out evangelizing, we'd say, you need to get born again and get your names wrote in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, it was just something cool that we heard somebody say. But you can't find that in the Bible. What you can find in the Bible is, be careful that you don't get your names blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life long before you were born. Because as far as He was concerned, your salvation was paid for long before you were born. Now, the way to get it blotted out is to reject Jesus right up until you change addresses. When you leave earth, if you've not been born again, your name is getting blotted out. Amen? Some say that I wish it were just as simple and easy to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as you make it sound. It is. It's that easy. It's as easy to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit as it is to get born again. You only believe, you're only going to receive what you believe. Amen? And you're only going to believe what you hear preached. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to get a revelation of something, you need to hear it preached, you need to read it, and study it, and look at it. Amen? Spiritual things are just as real as material things. God offers us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to cry and beg for it. God says, here's the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, you can receive now. You don't have to wait. You're ready now to receive the Holy Ghost. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 10, 17. I want you to look at that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It didn't say faith comes by having heard. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When I hit something, when I find something that I just struggling, I need, I can't quite get it, then I'll just sit there and listen to it. I'll listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. You hear it over and over and over again. And then I'll meditate on it. I'll get it in my mouth and I'll keep saying it so my ears can hear it. And then pretty soon, it'll just happen. I'll finally understand in my heart what it is I was trying to dig up out of the Scripture. I won't be able to maybe necessarily know it up here. I'll know it in here. You know, you can know things in your heart that you can't get your mind wrapped around. How many of you believe in the rapture? Are you crazy? Have you ever seen anybody get raptured? Do you know anybody that's got raptured? other than Enoch and Jesus and Elijah. Other than those, we've never personally known anybody that's been raptured. But you believe it in your heart, don't you? You can't figure out in your head how it's going to happen. It's okay to believe things in your heart that you can't understand in your head. That's faith. That's faith. So many of the things that we operate in concerning the word of faith, whether it be faith for finances or faith for healing or faith for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we try to figure it out up here. And then when we get all the answers figured out up here, then we figure we can go ahead and step out. That's just not the way it works. That's called mental ascent. You're playing mental basketball with yourself. But if you'll just sit there and say, okay, I believe it in my heart. I don't have to understand it up here. I believe it in my heart. That's when things start happening. Amen? Let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 6 again. When Paul had laid his hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Sometimes people don't understand this about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's transferable. And people can feel that. But don't get frustrated if you don't feel something. I want you to know, the Bible says you're anointed. So you're anointed. There's lots of times I've prayed for folks, and I just felt like, man, I feel about as dense as a post. But I'd pray for them anyway. And I'd use the name of Jesus, pray the word of God, pray for them. And they'd say, wow. They'd feel something. And I'd say, really? And a long time, they'd get up and they'd be healed. And they're like, well, I'm glad you felt it because I didn't feel nothing. Amen. But it, regardless of what you feel, you're still to be led by the Spirit. Amen. Too many people try to be led by feelings, and then they don't get much done. You know, if they don't feel right, then I ain't going to go witness to this guy. Oh, really? Is it about you or is it about Jesus and the word that you're speaking forth? Remember, the word has life. The word is the source of anointing. And that word changes people. Amen? Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 14. And it says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Receiving the Spirit is a spiritual experience, not a mental or physical experience. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your spirit, and your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. The reason your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost is that your body is a temple or house of your own spirit. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in your spirit. You cannot contact God with your mind. God is not a mind. God is not a man, which means that he is not a physical being. He is a spirit. If you want to contact God, you're going to have to contact God with your spirit. Amen. when we take His Word, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us pray, because it says He helps our infirmities. We can pray to Him. We can pray the Word of God to Him, or we can pray in tongues. Sometimes you can understand the gist of what you're praying when you're praying in tongues. You can do that. You don't have to, but you can do that. You can ask God to give you the understanding. And sometimes it's just none of your business. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say their baby fell and the tractor was rolling, the wheel was going to squish them, and all of a sudden that tractor just stopped for no reason at all, just stopped, and they could get that baby out of there? Somebody was in a terrible wreck and something horrible was about to happen, and all of a sudden they were just miraculously delivered? What they don't understand is maybe even all the way halfway around the world, God may have impressed on somebody to start praying in tongues now. And that's what it's about. Amen? We think we're pretty slick with the internet. We can get emails back and forth to each other pretty quick. We haven't caught up with God's time. You can pray a prayer now, and in a millisecond, it can be in Australia. Boom. God's Word knows no time and distance. You can pray it now, and it's there. We haven't caught up with God. We contact God with our spirits, for He is a spirit. This is where many people have difficulty in trying to receive the Holy Spirit. They try to receive Holy Spirit mentally or physically. When you believe you receive, do you have to feel something? See, I've seen a lot of people hit the floor when they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they roll around, and that didn't happen for me. As a matter of fact, I had to go ask my pastor. I said, "What happened?" And he said, "Did you believe you received?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Then go ask the Holy Spirit how to deal with what you just received." I said, "Okay." So I'm riding around on my horse out in the snowdrifts, and I just start singing a song, and I thought, what in the world is going on here? I'm the most unmusical person you ever known in your life, and I just started singing a song. So I went and told my pastor, I said, "Hey, what's going on here?" And he said, "Well, you remember you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Yeah." Well, he's working that out. Amen. But we got to allow Him to work that through us. You know, you believe you receive whether you feel it, whether you see it, whether you can hear it, taste it, or smell it. Because you're not led by your natural senses. You're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? It'll take a little bit of time of fellowship with Him to learn how to operate in this. But what He really wants you to understand is that when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have received the endowment of power to go out there and witness to people. Go out there and lay hands on the sick. Go out there and cast out devils. You have a ministry, and it's out there. And don't get hung up on worrying about what the most important gift is. You know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all of them are important. Somebody put it to me one day. They said the most important gift is the one that the man standing in front of you needs at that moment. That's the most important gift. Whether it be a gift of knowledge, word of wisdom, whether he needs a miracle, whether he needs healing, whatever it is he needs, that's the most important gift you can operate in at that given time. Amen. Our job is to be willing to let the Holy Spirit operate through us. Too many times, people let fear and pride get in their way and say, no, that just sounds too off the wall to go try something like that. Don't worry about it. If you're being led by the Holy Spirit, he's not going to let you look like a fool. And big things happen. Wonderful things happen. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16. This is Jesus talking. And he's getting his disciples ready for his departure. You know, they were used to him being there all the time. You know, when things went south, they could go to him and he could fix it. You know, he could still waves, still storms, stop the waves, stop the wind, raise the dead, feed multitudes. But he always said, it's not me that does this, it's the Father in me that does these things. And he had been showing people what it was like for a righteous man who had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how they could operate. You know, the minute you get born again, you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And now when you go receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can go out there and do the things that Jesus did. Because that's what he said. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. See, he comes to live and dwell in you. You must learn to respond to him. He'll give you the words. He'll give you the utterance. He'll tell you which way to go. He'll tell you what to do. Many people fail here because they rely on their natural senses, what they can see, hear, or feel. They will not believe that they have the Holy Ghost unless they speak with tongues. However, you believe and receive the Holy Ghost first, then you speak with tongues as a result of having received. Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice that scripture says they were filled. Then after they were filled, they began to speak with other tongues. That's the very thing that people stumble over. They want to talk in tongues first and then believe they received the Holy Spirit. You might not know this. I was a interim pastor in a Southern Baptist church. And I preached the baptism of the Holy Spirit there. And the lady that did our music, her husband was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he preached down the road. And she'd do our music, and then she'd run down there and do music at that church. Well, she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And everybody was standing there waiting for something to happen. And we prayed, she believed, she received, and I said, okay, now go sit down. And they were all looking at her, waiting for something to happen. I said, now you were waiting to see something. You were waiting to hear something. But you believe, you receive, and then something happens. It may not be right away, it could be later. You believe, you receive. Same way with healing. It's the same way with finances. You believe, you receive it. You notice our job is to receive. we're so busy in life about doing and making things happen and causing things to change, doing this and doing that, being busy here and being busy there, earning and working and doing this. And you have to understand that when you got born again, you got seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, you're sitting down. When you're working, you're not sitting down, right? So when you're sitting down, the only thing that you can do is receive. Spiritually speaking, you have been seated at the right hand of God. Your job is to receive. And you're going to have to find out what He's already given you and then receive that. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in His death, burial, and His resurrection. We thank you for everything that Jesus has given to us. We know that you have freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that Jesus, our high priest, is always at the right hand of God, making our prayers perfect before you. And you've given us Holy Spirit who will help us in our weaknesses and show us how to pray. We thank you for everything that Jesus will do for us when He completes our redemption and we see Him face to face. Father, we thank you for a special week, a special weekend. Father, a safe weekend. We plead the blood of Jesus over this whole community and over everybody in it, that everybody's going to be safe. There's going to be no wrecks. Everybody's going to have a good time, that people are going to be men, and that everybody will return home safely and full of the Holy Spirit and ministered to and full of life. In Jesus' name, amen.